This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
It is our first Strike Zone hour of the 2025 Cardinals season. Welcome in. Nothing but baseball from here until the end of the hour. We'll talk with Jim the Cat Hayes in just a few moments. The Strike Zone, we are being brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis, and they are a great place to work. If you want to chime in, you have an opportunity to do so. You can call, you can text, you can tweet, you can leave a message on our social media streams. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching the show on the video stream on our various KMOX Sports social media channels, just leave a comment and that comes right in, like Henry did. And he said, Brant Brown is a massive change. He's constantly meeting with hitters before at bats, diehard fan, and was bellowing the entire homestand. This team is going to run the division. Exciting Cardinals baseball is back. I hope that's right. I don't know if they'll run the division. I think they're going to be a competitive team. And I don't mean to like just repeat all the same stuff that I've said a million times over, especially now that baseball is actually being played this year. We can get to some new stuff every once in a while. We don't have to just keep playing the hits. But I never understood why the outside expectations for this team were so incredibly low. I'm not telling you this is a World Series contender. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's a team that was above 500 and was a second-place team in the division last year, and they didn't lose much. That was a big-time contributor from last year's team, and there's a bunch of guys who are ready to take steps forward. So I always thought that this team absolutely could be in division contention. And we'll say it's only six games, right? It's six games. It was a good six games. The one thing I would say, it's good that like not everything went right over the six games, just in the sense that if everything is going right, well, then you know at some point a lot of that stuff is going to start to fall back a bit. You know, they're not a perfect team. They're far from a perfect team. They are an incredibly flawed team. And we're going to have to watch them try to work through those flaws. Last year, they really struggled hitting with runners in scoring position. Through the first six games this year, they're better. Good, not great is probably where I would go with that. They've come up with some hits, but they've also shown the ability not to drive in the runner from third with less than two outs. That has been something that has been a little bit of a trend. And it probably cost them a win in one of those extra inning losses because they just could not get that next run across. Now, it was really good yesterday to see that exact same thing happen where they had tied the game and they had the winning run on third with less than two outs and they don't push it across. And then what happens? The next inning, they go put up a seven spot. So that was a good development. That was good to see. I was glad it worked out that way. But this is still a flawed team. But the entire division is flawed. I don't really know how many great teams there are in Major League Baseball. I know how many, I think I have a good sense of like the good teams in Major League Baseball, but the great teams, we can all agree that the Dodgers are great, right? Dodgers are great. Phillies, probably. I think the Phillies, to me, are the second best team in the National League. From an American League standpoint, I'd probably put the Yankees in there, even with the pitching issues and other things like that that they've got going on. I'm still a believer in the Yankees. I don't know who else I really believe in the American League. Maybe Baltimore is second on my – I don't know, but I can argue myself out of Baltimore. I don't know. Kyle Sixt is here. Who from the American League other than the Yankees should I have on my great list?
I don't think there's an objectively second great team in the American League. I'm really high on the Rangers this year. I don't know if you everyone would call them great, but I think they have the potential to be pretty good. I guess the Orioles.
Good,
are
not
next.
Great. Yeah.
The Orioles fit there. I think a lot of the AL East fits there, to be quite honest. No one in the AL Central, that's for sure.
No. And that's a division. There's a lot made of what their records are because everybody is sitting with two wins right now in the AL Central. I think that division last year, you saw some teams kind of emerge. I think Kansas City can be a good team. I think Detroit can be a good team. I think Cleveland can be a good team. I think Minnesota can be a good team. I don't think any of those are great teams. But honestly, I don't think a lot separate. When we talk about the NL Central, and I sit here and tell you not a lot separates out that group of four, which is the Cubs, Reds, Brewers, Cardinals. Well, I would tell you not much separates out that group of four in the AL Central with Kansas City, Detroit, Cleveland, and Minnesota. In the Central, it's obvious. In the American League, it's obviously the White Sox that are the team that's the worst team in the division. That kind of one of these things doesn't belong. In the AL Central, it's the White Sox. In the NL Central, it's the Pirates. But outside of that, you can make an argument for just about any of these teams finding a way to win. And I think that's good for this Cardinals team. Because I always, one of my things I say over and over is you don't have to squint that hard to see something. You don't have to squint that hard to see this Cardinals team being a team that can really compete in this division. If the Cardinals are doing what they're doing right now, and they're doing it in the NL West, or they're doing it in the AL East, or they're doing it in the NL East, I think the belief inside of the clubhouse might feel a little bit different. And it's not something that they would say out loud. You're always going to hear guys say the exact same things. The belief that exists inside the clubhouse, and they ignore the outside voices, yada, yada, yada. But these are not dumb guys. And they can see what else is going on. So if the Cardinals are going through a transition year like they're going through right now, and they've got a bunch of somewhat young, unproven guys that are trying to take steps forward, and you've got a pitching staff that's just kind of a bunch of solid guys but not really a bunch of great guys, if you have that and you go into the year, I think you – it's not that you buy into the outside expectations, but I think there's less confidence that you can, kind of buck the trend and go on a little bit of a run. And have that chip on the shoulder and all that sort of stuff. And, that stuff's nice to talk about. Over 162 games, at some point, generally, talent kind of wins out over everything else. But also over 162 games, not to talk out both sides of my mouth, you're looking for any advantage that you can have. You're looking for any edge that you can have. So I think there's value for the Cardinals going through what they're going through right now, playing in a division where nobody is great. Nobody's even that good. Pretty good is probably the ceiling for any team in the NL Central. And that's just the way things are sitting right now. Cardinals have won four of their first six. Cubs are 5-4, a half game back. Again, not that really matters at this point in time, but what does matter is the fact that it's a division where you go on a really good run over a two-week period, and then you play 500 baseball the rest of the season, that might be enough. that might be enough for you to win 86, 87, 88 games, and that might be enough to end up winning the division. So that's kind of where the Cardinals are going into this season. I think I would be curious. I'll throw this out, and I'll ask folks to either send in a message on the social media channel that you happen to be watching it, or if you want to text in at 314-436-7900. Probably won't take phone calls on this, but I'd be curious to see if anybody responds to this and has any thoughts. If you're somebody who is really down on this team, has your feelings about the possibility of this team being okay changed at all based off the first six games? And I say that knowing full well how small of a sample size six games is. And if that comes across as me saying that, oh, they had a good six-game start to the season, let's start printing playoff tickets, that's not what I'm saying. I, of all people that you probably listen to talking about baseball, I'm the guy who probably talks about let's just wait and see more often than anybody else. Like I'm the this is too small. They'll play 30 games. That's too small of a sample size. 50 games. Too small of a sample size. You know, that's me. Like I want more data. I want more information. I want to see more to put together a real thought on some, not real thought, but to have a final thought would be the better way to put that. But there have been promising things that have happened in these first six games. So if you are a doubter, you're a Cardinals fan, you want to see the Cardinals do well, you just didn't think that they were going to do well, have you seen anything in these first six games that has changed your mind at all? If you've always thought that the Cardinals had a chance to be pretty good, I would think that you're just being that what you've seen so far has certainly solidified your thoughts going into the season. But if you're somebody that was very negative on this team, if you have a little bit of a different thought on them, I'd be curious to hear that. You can text into the program at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a message on the voice, or not on the voicemail. You can leave a voicemail, but also put a message on the social media channels as well. Jim Hayes, Jim the Cat Hayes, he is the reporter for Cardinals TV on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. He joins us in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Off day today for the Cardinals. Back at tomorrow afternoon. They'll play in Boston to begin a series against the Red Sox. Boston home opener coming up tomorrow. Let's head to Boston right now. One of my favorite people who covers the Cardinals. One of the hardest working guys out there. Somehow, I don't think we've had him on Sports Open Line since I've been the host of Sports Open Line, which is a bad job by us because we ask him. He immediately says yes. He is Jim the Cat Hayes, reporter for FanDuel Network Sports Network Midwest. Jim, appreciate you taking some time. How's Boston?
Rainy, cold, but it's fine. I immediately said yes because you, sir, are a great American, and I follow you on Twitter, and it's almost like you're too rational. I think you're too fair and too rational to be on that platform. I appreciate the kind words, by the way.
Can I correct you on one thing real quick? This is going to be a great way to start this conversation. You don't follow me on Twitter.
I'm sorry?
You don't.
What do you say? How come I see your stuff?
Because I guess other people retweet. It's just so good. So many people retweet it. It ends up on your algorithm.
Well, I did not realize I didn't follow you. And I promise you, as soon as this segment is over, the first thing I do when I hang up is I will follow you. That's my bad. I feel terrible about
you,
that.
I wasn't trying to make you feel. I really don't care. I just, you know, we don't need.
No. You just called me out on the mighty Camo X as a scoundrel. Yes, you did.
I just don't want disinformation. You know, we try to be truthful around here.
That's
trying
fair.
To help
that's
you out.
Fair. That's my bad. But I always see your stuff, and I think you're fair, and I think you're sensible. I try to be, although I try to be a little campy with some of the stuff. Like, for example, I did issue a spirit win this morning because that's fun. Do you know, I do that on social media. Do you know why I do that?
I don't.
I do that as an homage to the great Joe Strauss,
okay,
who was my friend and was a guy who liked to stir it up, but he used to call it a spirit win when they would, you know, get a couple of runs in the ninth, but still get, you know, rolled 8-4 or whatever. And so now on an off day, I did this years ago after his passing, I issue a spirit win as an homage to the great Joe Strauss. And some people think that's because I'm a rights holder, which I am, thankfully. I'm glad to still be part of the rights holder crew. And that's why I do it. So that's some nonsense for your listeners who probably don't want to hear it, but I thought I'd throw that out there.
No, that's good. And honestly, people who are not following you should be, because I don't say this just to, you know, kiss your backside. You have one of the funniest Twitter accounts that's out there. You come up with amazing social media content.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I have a team of writers that does that for me. I personally can't string two words together.
That's not true, but we'll move on. We'll move on from that. Before we even get any further, let's let you plug something. You've got you're doing a podcast, a video deal with Lance Lynn, and you guys are gonna have all kind of guests coming in and everything. It's a really cool thing. How did this all come about?
So I was doing it with the company formerly as Bally's as a company promotion, and they let me. They said, we don't do YouTube, so you can start a YouTube page. So I started just doing interviews in the off season. And I don't know if you heard about it. We had some things to deal with, and we are now FanDuel, so I didn't have a chance to do it. And I was mentioning that I was going to start something up on my own. And I was talking to Lance Lynn, and he said he'd do it. And then I was like, well, see if Kyle Gibson can do it. And that was before Kyle Gibson signed with the Orioles. And so it's called Serving It Up with Lance Lynn, and he agreed to do this before he announced his retirement, which he did on his wife's podcast, not on his own, which is understandable. Wives come first. And then before that, Kyle Gibson signed with the Orioles, but he still wants to do it. So we're taping once a week, and I just throw out some questions, and both of them sort of use me as a human, I don't know what you call, what do you call those things that you hang up, a human pinata. Mm. And they both take their swipes at me, but it's good back and forth. And Lance is kind of an outspoken guy and says it's, you know, what's on his mind. Now that he's not looking for another job, he'll say even more. And I think Kyle Gibson is a good counterbalance to that. And I'm just sitting there for the fun. So it's Serving It Up. It's on my YouTube channel, Jim Hayes. I don't know how you get there because I'm an old and I don't know how to get there, but it's on my YouTube page, and we're going to do one a week. Gibson couldn't do it, so we have Matt Holliday on for the last one, but Gibson will be back for this one. And we have a company called Punchline putting it together, so we're still working out the bugs on the podcast.
You've got amazing relationships with players, and I think that's part of what makes you really good at your job. Your personality is perfect for it, but it allows you to do things like this, and I think it also – when Ivan Herrera hits 3 home runs and you're able to kind of go back and forth with him a little bit on social media, everybody just, it gives more personality to these players. And I think it's a really important thing that you do because it allows fans to really get an idea of who these guys actually are.
Thank you for saying that. Because I honestly think outside of doing, you know, the interviews and stuff, I think that's kind of one of my jobs, is to get players to show their personalities, because that's how, first of all, Cardinal fans love their players, but they love them more when guys have a personality. So I tell the players, show that stuff, because that's what fans gravitate to. That's how you build a following. That's how you become, you know, one of the all-timers. Like Lance Lynn won 70-some games, but in St. Louis, you know, as a Cardinal, fans love him because of his post game. And I try to treat players, look, I'm an older guy. I'm not looking to hang out with players. I just want to be kind of work friends with them. And they know if they're 0-for-30, I'm going to ask them about that too, but I try to do it in a respectful way. But the main thing is, and I don't know if you see it in the clubhouse, like I'll go talk to guys when I don't have the microphone. So when they see me coming, it's just, you know, to chat. It's not always, oh, he needs something from me. So I try to build on that, and I do the best. I just think there's so many guys on this particular team that have personalities that, should they keep winning, it'll be a fun season in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And a nice 4-2 start to the season. How pleased have you been with what the team was able to do through those first six games?
Well, I thought, you know, the thing that really concerned me, and who knows what's ahead, you know, like I always say, go ahead and clip that off and say this didn't age well. I don't know what's ahead. I was concerned that they wouldn't hit enough. Well, they have so far, and they've been getting hitting from a lot of places. And the guys I thought would definitely hit are Mason Wynn and Wilson Contreras, and they just got their first hits. It's other guys. Like Newt has caught fire to start the season. He's been great at the top of the lineup. Walker's hit. We haven't seen a lot of Gorman, but he got a start, and he hit well. I think the defense is going to be something. There's some speed in the outfield that I like, and the defense have been strong. I think the bats and the defense were my biggest concern. I think the pitching, the starting pitching, has been exceptional. Like, every guy, they might not be going deep, but a lot of pitchers don't go deep early in the season anyway. But the starting pitching has been solid. We've seen, you know, a couple of missteps in the bullpen. But to me, the impressive thing is the hitting, because to me, if they hit, I think that rotation is going to be kind of middle of the pack like it was last year. I think the bullpen is going to be good. Certainly you got the hammer at the end of the game. But if they hit, they're going to win, and so far they're hitting, and it's been impressive.
It seems like everybody's having a lot of fun, and obviously when you're winning games, you know, it's a chicken or egg type thing with fun and winning and all that. But the vibe through six games, through 1 week, seems like it's pretty good. What leads to that? Because maybe it hasn't been quite like that in recent years.
So I think the fact that a lot of people don't think they're going to be very good, one, takes some of the pressure off, right? If you're a team that every year people think are going to compete to win the division, and then you guys have off years and, you know, it becomes a slog for them, I think you're getting some younger guys who are getting a chance, and I don't think they have a ton of pressure. Every player, by the way, puts pressure on themselves individually, but I mean as a team. And I think there is a youthful energy now where some of the younger guys are feeling a little freer to be themselves, but everyone in that clubhouse that I talked to says it has a different energy than it has the last couple of years. And winning certainly continues that and makes that sustainable. The question is, will it sustain if they go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak? Like you said, you go 4-2 to start, everything's peaches and cream. What happens when they stop winning? Hopefully they won't. They're hitting the ball, and it's been fun to watch.
Is there any place, any restaurant, anything like that in Boston that you have to make sure that you get to every time you go there?
There really isn't, but I will share this with you, because actually Chip Carey, I'm name dropping,
yeah,
invited me to go to dinner, and I have the reputation as I'm a hermit, because I like to just chill and sleep, because, you know, I'm not a big party guy. Anyway, I didn't go to dinner, and he said, where'd you go? I went to a place called Cappy's. It's a pizza restaurant right by the hotel. And I realized that it's the same place. I was a freshman at Emerson College in Kenmore Square, which is a short walk from where we're staying. And when I met a friend of mine for lunch who went to Berkeley School, and met another kid who went to Northeastern, right in this very triangle, all three schools, kids from Nyack High School, all went to the colleges that were literally two blocks. So we figured it out. We went to lunch at a place by Berkeley called Cappy's Pizza, and it was there. and I took out from there, had pepperoni pizza, and I realized that I haven't eaten there in 45 years. Wow. It's 45 years. That place is still there. Hmm. Cappy's Pizza. So that's where I ate today.
Good pizza?
Is that interesting?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Was it good?
East Coast. East Coast. Yeah, very good. Okay. You know, like, to me, I'm all for East Coast type pizza. No offense to St. Louis. Not don't love St. Louis style. Don't love Chicago style. I like the East Coast. That kind that has the little grease channel when you fold it.
All right. I'm not against that type of pizza at all. He is Jim Hayes. You see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Make sure to check out the new podcast, Serving It Up. He has Lance Lynn as a co-host. A lot of times Kyle Gibson is going to be there, the most recent one, Matt Holliday. His YouTube channel is at Jim the Cat Hayes, so that's how you find it. Jim, enjoy Boston. Thanks for the time, and we'll see you when you get back to St. Louis.
I'm hanging up, and I'm going to follow you right now. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Awesome. That's good stuff from Jim the Cat Hayes. We appreciate him taking a moment or so with us. I wasn't trying to be rude about him. He just said it, and I thought, well, that wasn't 100% correct, so I'm going to inform him. I'll update you after the break if indeed I have been followed on Twitter by Jim Hayes, which I'm sure he will do. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. By the way, if you want to chime in on the Cardinals, this is your opportunity to do so. During the strike zone, we always try to open up the phone lines for you to talk all things Cardinals baseball. So if you've got any thoughts that you want to share, any questions, anything you want to throw off of me, this is the time to do it. You can call 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. You can text me, whatever you want to do to get in contact with us. If I can see it, I will get to you. So that's coming up in our next segment. Again, 314-436-7900. Breaking news. I have been followed back by Jim Hayes. So there you go. He followed it through. We've got more in a moment right here. It's a Strike Zone Hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at on KMOX, the Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone Hour. If you want to talk Cardinals baseball, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, 314-436-7900. Kyle, I got a text message from the 618. So we need to go over this here. This is very important stuff for those of you who are not listening in the last segment. And I'm not bothered by it. I didn't care. I always bring up people's Twitter accounts so I don't screw up their Twitter handle when I'm saying it. So if we have a guest on, their Twitter account is in front of me, and that way I just look down and see what their Twitter handle is when I mention it. So we had Jim Hayes on, and he said, I follow you on Twitter, and his Twitter was right in front of me, and it did not have the follows you on it. If you would have asked me 3 hours ago, does Jim Hayes follow you on Twitter or not, I probably wouldn't have known the answer. I probably would have said yes. So I noticed when he said that, I looked at it, did not say follows you. So Jim is a friend. We have a good relationship. He is a good man. He has helped me out in so many ways. Especially, you know, when I was occasionally, like when I go on the road to do games and I'm in cities that I'm not comfortable in, like when we went to Philadelphia last year and I did a game there, Jim really, like, he basically held my hand, you know, figuratively, not literally, with pregame stuff and helping me get interviews and things like that. Like I cannot say enough good things about Jim Hayes. So I noticed he wasn't following me on Twitter, and he brought it up. He said, Matt, I follow you on Twitter. So I said to him, you actually don't follow me on Twitter, but it's not a big deal. We got a text message from the 618. Matt, I can't believe you were so rude and disrespectful to Jim by calling him out that he wasn't following you. You should have just ignored it. Now, Kyle, I think you're in the room, so you saw my being, my aura. For those of you who are watching this on the video stream, you saw the smile on my face. I said that with the intention of having fun and kind of joking around. Jim jokes around a lot, so I was trying to joke around back with him. And I don't know if this texter is being tongue-in-cheek or if they're being serious, but if they are being serious, I don't think I was being rude and disrespectful.
Maybe I'll be tongue-in-cheek for a minute. You're so rude, Matt. You're so rude.
So there, I hope that guy, like when I actually, when I, because I'm so paranoid about stuff like this. When I said it, I was like, I hope this comes across as a fun, joking sort of thing. And by the way, he did indeed follow me on Twitter. And then he tweeted out, public apology to Matt Pauly on air for not following him until now. One of the most rational people on this platform, which I appreciate that. For people who listen to me all the time know that I try to be very rational in the way that I approach things. That is sort of, that's my brand. If we all have different brands, like some people try to be more hot takey, and that's fine. I'm not being critical of them. That's their thing. That's their lane. I try to be the rational person. I try to be the, I feel this way. You feel this way. I see why you feel that way, but I don't really agree with that. So let me tell you why I agree with that. Let's have a conversation. Like that's the Matt Pauly thing. And so yeah, I appreciate the words from Jim Hayes. But all is right in the world now. And by the way, how about this? A bunch of people are following me all of a sudden on Twitter as a result of this. So this is good for the Matt Pauly brand. A lot of power with the Jim Hayes tweet.
Shout out to Jim Hayes. Yes. What a great guy.
He is. He's awesome. I think. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit. I'm getting back serious now. He mentioned the fact that he felt like part of his job is to help players, kind of their personalities come out. And I love the game of baseball. I love the Cardinals. I've always loved the game of baseball. Growing up as a Cardinal fan, I've always loved the Cardinals. But even when I was working in markets that were not St. Louis, my overriding love of baseball was very important to everything I have done from a career standpoint. And I always get frustrated when people don't share in my love of baseball, not because it's not their thing. If baseball isn't your thing, that's fine. But when it's because the game is just not being presented in a way that welcomes them in. And one of the ways you welcome people into the game of baseball is by showing off the personalities of various players. And in many ways, it's up to the TV partners to do this. You know, I'll dig in on Major League Baseball a little bit. One of my sayings is, you know, who's the greatest baseball player walking the face of the earth? I can take them to West County Mall and probably walk down the mall with them, and a lot of people won't know who that is. Although, like up until the last couple of years, that was always Mike Trout. I would always say, who's the best player in the world? Mike Trout. I could probably grab Mike Trout and walk him through the mall, and not many people would know who he is. I think now if we go Shohei Ohtani, is he more? I think he's more recognizable. That's probably a little bit more, so it's gotten better.
I'd agree.
Okay. But my point has always been, I can't do that with Tom Brady. I can't do that with Peyton Manning. I can't do that with Michael Jordan. I can't do that with LeBron James. Like, the guys who have been at the top level of their other respective sports are really well known, and even if they have no tie to St. Louis, they're not walking through the mall without people going, oh my gosh, that's LeBron James. Oh my gosh, that's Tom Brady. Like, that's not happening, where I don't know how many people would recognize Mike Trout if you're just walking down the street with him. So I like to blame Major League Baseball for that. I do. What can Major League Baseball really do to fix that problem? You know, how do you feature your players more? You can start doing stuff, but people have to come find that stuff. I think MLB Network is awesome. And I think MLB Network does a good job of spotlighting players. If you're not like a hardcore baseball fan, or if your team that you're a fan of isn't playing on MLB Network, you're probably not watching MLB Network. That's not just the channel that you just haphazardly throw on and have on in the background if you're not a baseball fan. So there's a lot of people who are casual baseball fans who have the local broadcast on TV most times. It's part of the soundtrack of these 6 months where Cardinals are playing, games on TV, even if you're not actively watching it, the game is on TV. And that's not just true for St. Louis. Like, I lived in Colorado for a while, which is one of the worst baseball markets in the country. And I can't tell you how often I walk into somebody's house and it's evening time and it's dinner time and the Rockies game is on TV. That's just what you do. It's a normal thing during those months to have baseball on. So I think in many ways it is up to the various regional networks and the teams that for whatever impact that they have on the content that is on that to go out there and make sure that fans get to know players a little bit more. And I don't know if there's anybody better in the country than Jim Hayes at showing off the personalities of players, or at least unnerving the players to a point where they are willing to show it off themselves. So when Jim sits here and tells us that he feels like that is part of his job, I'm glad he says that, because I think of all the ways to grow the game of baseball, that is as impactful of a way as possible. People watch playoff games and so forth, but that's a very short amount of time for a very few amount of teams. If every team in baseball has a Jim Hayes who is out there doing what he's trying to do in terms of spotlighting players, I think that grows baseball because we get to know him a little bit more. The Ivan Herrera thing is a great example. Man, the stuff the stories that have gone along with the 3-home run day, if you've been following along, you know, he talked about wanting to come to the Cardinals because of Yadier Molina and talked about growing up without money and how yesterday was the greatest day of his professional life, like just all these amazing things. And then there's another backstory, which was pretty cool. So Brendan, and then this goes along with the biggest storyline right now in baseball. Brendan Donovan uses a bat that's kind of like the torpedo bat in some ways. And John Denton from MLB.com wrote about this. It was in his most recent newsletter. And then if you go to Cardinals.com, you can click on like the headline about his bat. It doesn't exactly look like the torpedo bat, but he went to the bat company that makes his bats. I believe it's Old Hickory. And they designed a bat for him because where he was swinging and where he was making contact wasn't really the sweet spot on the bat. So they were able to change the way the bat was, and they created an exclusive bat for him that has the same principles as the torpedo bat. Well, Ivan Herrera, what did he do yesterday? He borrowed one of Brendan Donovan's bats. He brought one of his bats, and he hits the 3 home runs. So, and he said after the game he was not giving the bat back to Donovan. Like, that's an amazing story. So everything that goes along with the Herrera stuff yesterday, just absolutely awesome, and it's been really, really fun to talk about. This is a Strike Zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Just a few minutes left in the program. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coming up right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left in the program. We've got the Gas House Gang coming your way after this show is over. It's going to be Chris Ranji, Bernie Miklas, and let's see what day is it. It's Thursday. So I think it's just those two guys on the program today. That's going to be coming up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So make sure to stay tuned for that. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, ChesterfieldFence.com. Cardinals are going to play their first road game of the year coming up tomorrow afternoon in Boston as they match up against the Red Sox. It is going to be Red Sox opening day, so they'll take part in the festivities as they do them in Boston. Eric Fetty's going to be on the mound tomorrow. He had a really nice first start, so comes in with a 1-0 record. 1.5 ERA. Walker Buehler, who did not have a good first start for Boston, is going to make his second start for the Red Sox. He's 0-1 with an elevated 8.31 ERA. Tomorrow is going to be a 1:10 first pitch. That means our coverage begins at 12:15. I'll have you for pregame right there at 12:15 here on KMOX. So make sure to be tuned in for that. And looking for it's going to be fun to see the Cardinals, go on the road for the first time and see what they can do. By the way, though, sidebar, playing all these interleague games to start the season is kind of odd. Twins, they're going to play the Twins, the Angels, and the Red Sox before they finally get to a National League opponent. And I don't love interleague play, so in some ways, like, I like getting these games out of the way early on in the season because you're playing, it gives you an opportunity to play the more important games as the season goes along. But that's a really weird quirk in the schedule to play 3 straight interleague series to open up the season, but that's what they are doing. My thanks to all the guests who are on to today. Bernie Miklas, Jim the Cat Hayes was on. We talked MLS soccer, so all kinds of guests. We thank them. We thank you for being tuned in here on KMOX.